good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you, virtually at least, and welcome to this service of celebration on All Saints Day here at St. John's Anglican Church in Toorak. It's a great pleasure today to welcome our Bishop, who is just a little off camera, but you'll see her in a moment, Bishop Jeanette Blackwell, and she will be our guest preacher today. And thank you very much, Bishop, for being here, especially under, you know, somewhat different circumstances. Before we begin our worship today, it's a great privilege to be able to read the announcement of Deacon Kyron Jones's ordination to the priesthood. And this is a requirement of the church, a little bit like the old tradition of the bands of marriage. So let me just read this before our worship commences. Notice is hereby given that Kyron Margaret Jones of 14486 Toorak Road, Toorak 3142, and now resident in the parish of St. John the Evangelist, intends to offer herself as a candidate for the holy office of priest at the ensuing ordination by the Archbishop of Melbourne. If any person knows any cause or just impediment why the said Kyron Margaret Jones ought not to be admitted into the holy office of priest, that person is to declare the same forthwith or to the Archbishop of Melbourne. Thank you. We now come into the presence of God and turn our minds to God, stilling our hearts, our minds, our souls as we prepare to worship. And Chris, our director of music, will begin with some beautiful music as always. Celebration on All Saints Day. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the collect for this All Saints Day, we praise you, Heavenly Father, that you have knit together your chosen ones in one communion and fellowship in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Give us grace so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those inexpressible joys which you have prepared for those who truly love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God in glory everlasting. Amen.
Our first reading comes from Revelation chapter 7. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all of the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be to our God for ever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple, and the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Hear the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From the Psalter this morning, some verses from Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord continually. His praise shall be always in my mouth. Let my soul boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. O, praise the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name forever. For I sought the Lord's help and he answered, and he freed me from all my fears. Look towards him and be bright with joy. Your faces shall not be ashamed. Here is a wretch who cried, and the Lord heard me and saved me from all my troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them in their need. O, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they that hide in him. Fear the Lord, all you his holy ones, for those who fear him never lack. Lions may suffer want and go hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack nothing good. The Lord ransoms the lives of his servants, and none who hide in him will be destroyed. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our second reading comes from 1 John chapter 3. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It is good to be able to be with you today to celebrate All Saints. I'm glad with technology I'm still able to gather with you this morning. It's been a very challenging time for everyone. Even as Melbourne starts to open up again, Peter and I have been talking about the anxieties to do with that we experience. And as churches, we're able to gradually gather in increasing numbers for public worship. There are a new set of challenges, a feeling of a way to go. There's a sense that the experience of COVID-19 has meant for the church, for Christians, an invitation back to purpose, a recovery of vocation. If we can't do what we normally do, or do them in the way we normally do, what are we really about as the people of God? In what we do, in what it means to be the people of God. In a sense, this is what the Beatitudes are about, an invitation back to purpose, a recovery of vocation. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has just begun his public ministry. And in the Sermon on the Mount, beginning with these Beatitudes that we heard this morning, Jesus is teaching his disciples, all those who want to follow him, all those who want to respond to what he's saying and doing, preaching and healing, what it really means to belong to this kingdom that he's preaching about, to be the people of God, to be the Israel they were meant to be. At the time, there were all different expectations within Israel as to how God was going to bring in the kingdom. And really, Jesus' teaching is turning all these expectations on their head. Things like following the law, revolution, or just, you know, working with the authorities. And what we see in the Beatitudes is Jesus really refusing to be prescriptive, refusing to make laws for people to live by. He doesn't prescribe who's in and out. Rather, he's descriptive. He describes what it might be like to be a person sharing in this movement which is beginning. He's laying the foundations of the kingdom based on imagining what life might be like if it's founded on trust, hope, and vulnerability. Love. There's so much that one can say about the Beatitudes, but this morning I hope there are means for you reflecting what it means to live by them simply. How they might remind us of saints of the kingdom who've inspired us. How they point to you and I being one of the saints. A follower of Jesus, belonging to his kingdom, how they invite us back to our purpose. We live in a very addictive culture, more varied than just drugs and alcohol, you know, media, technology, food, shopping, security, wealth. Most of us are unaware of the addictive facets of our personalities, and so we find ourselves consuming what we must have, but could not possibly ever need. That's even been true during COVID-19, if reports of online shopping are anything to go by. It's the opposite of humble dependence on God. It's the opposite of people who fight their addictions. There's a lot to learn from people who fight their addictions. They're voluntarily poor. They, one day at a time, choose to give up what they truly value above all else, their addiction, which is in fact life-denying, damaging to our souls, and seek a life that is deeper, healthier, and spiritually fulfilling. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Mourning. It's an inbuilt, wired-in part of our system, designed to help us from one movement of our lives to the next, to grieve loss, loss of what we've had or maybe hoped for, ultimately the loss of life itself, to face the reality of that. COVID-19 has confronted our usually pain-denying culture with loss and grief. At the same time, it's presented very real challenges for what it means to be present with others experiencing loss and grief. Denial, isolation, they are lonely places where there is no comfort. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. True comfort lies not in taking a person out of or away from the reality of pain, but being present with them in it. It's risky. It requires vulnerability. But I know in my ministry there was a point of realizing it wasn't about worrying about what to say, but having the courage to simply be there in whatever way possible, to be present for that person in their pain, whether or not you say anything, and often better not. Gregory of Nyssa defined meekness as everything done quietly and slowly. Yet we can find with getting poorer and getting real, pretty much everything again in our culture works against this. Our dominant economic culture is you can have it all now, spending rather than saving for many. And for many of us, even in the midst of restrictions, modern communication systems mean that there's not been a let up in the pace of life, just alternative ways of constantly being on the go, living with constant noise, expecting an immediate response, all working against meekness. How might we respond rather than react? Create spaces to let time do its work, God do his work when there are issues to be worked through in me, the other person, the situation. How might we, this is particularly important for now, isn't it? How might we model an effective spiritual life? Systematic, a journey to be undertaken, developed with all the checks and balances of a community. One of the gifts of this time, as well as Steve still being able to gather for corporate worship in this way, has been a recovery of the daily office of household prayer. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. An inheritance is something that comes to us at the appropriate time, something we have to wait for, something that requires meekness, something that cannot be taken or earned, but is given. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. We live in a world of fast food. I have to say, what did the first meal my son go out to yesterday? Kentucky Fried Chicken. I could not believe his choice, but that's where he went. Let me fill you now. What are you rushing around doing, even at home, which gives you the illusion of being satisfied? What have you struggled with during these past 6 months not being able to do? We can sometimes confuse what is right with what is busy, and we can sometimes confuse what is right with what is legal. That's been a salutary lesson for the church with the Royal Commission. Self-righteousness is about qualification and justification, about us differentiating ourselves from them. Yet righteousness is not sustained, is it, in an environment of division, the fracturing of our society we see so much of, but one of mutual vulnerability, forgiveness, and reconciliation. It's costly. And while we hunger and thirst for righteousness from deep within the human heart, it's not primarily about me. It's about the whole. It's about the common good, trusting there's something greater than me that can fill our emptiness in a way that is sustainable. An alternative to being condemned to the restrictions of fulfilling our own needs for the rest of our lives. It's mercy which keeps the self out of righteousness. Mercy is always about the other. Gregory of Nyssa also spoke of mercy and described it as a voluntary sorrow that joins itself to the suffering of others, difficult as that can be. Mercy is also about reacting to the good in another, appreciating the whole person in the reality of their existence. Mercy that God is so ready to show us. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Not those who try to impress, deceive others with outward show. Your public life and your private life matching up. If mercy enables us to see ourselves in others, then purity of heart allows us to see God in ourselves and in others. A pure heart is a heart that has attained peace in itself. So it seems a natural step to become a peacemaker. But don't be deceived. Lasting and sustainable peace is far more complex. Vulnerability is at the heart of what it means to be a peacemaker, a child of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. We cannot be peacemakers until we know peace at the center of our being, and we cannot know peace at the center of our being until we know ourselves to be children of God, loved. What the Apostle John brings together in his letter. The old Hebrew word for peace, shalom, speaks of a quality of life which includes inner peace and an agenda for peace transcending both. It speaks of rich and fruitful human living, God's new creation. It's difficult to be a peacemaker in a world that lives with the illusion that the way to overcome violent people is to outdo them with violence. But it is about being a peacemaker is not to return like for like. It's to love your enemy, as Jesus will go on to say. The persecution that is called blessed comes from choosing what is right. In choosing the right, we often separate ourselves from the mainstream, as Jesus did. We become a threat to the interests of others, as Jesus was. Blessed are the persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In one sense, or at the time, in many ways, Jesus' invitation back to purpose was unsuccessful. Capernaum, Chorazin, Bethsaida, the towns all around the mount, they by and large resisted Jesus' challenge to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, as he will put it in the verses which follow. The early church took it up again later. But Jesus himself followed his own words, his own program. These Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount as a whole are an agenda which Jesus himself carried out, embodying in himself what Jerusalem, Israel was meant to be, but had failed to be. Embodying the way of self-giving love, a beacon of hope to the world, which is the deepest fulfillment of the law and the prophets. The question for us this morning is, how are we responding, you and I, to this invitation back to purpose in this time of challenge and suffering, in this time of significant forced change? As we celebrate All the Saints this morning, how are we letting these eight Beatitudes shape us as the people of God, as saints of the kingdom, in a time when we might struggle to see the future, might even fear what it might mean for the church? How are we focusing not just on our survival, but on our calling, our purpose, our vocation as God's people? I think these Beatitudes help us to live with the unknown, to live without all the answers. Just like the Jewish people who first heard these sayings of Jesus, we cannot go back to past glory. We can only move forward as we rediscover our purpose, as we respond to the invitation to live in trust, hope and vulnerability, faith, hope and love, belonging to and pointing to being the salt and the light of the kingdom of God fulfilled in Jesus.
Let us confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us now pray for the world and for the church. We pray for the peace of our world, for the leaders of all nations, and for all those in positions of authority. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the welfare of your holy church, for our Bishop Genève, and for all the clergy and people of our diocese. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for seasonable weather and for an abundance of the fruits of the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray that we may share with justice the resources of the earth and live in trust and goodwill with one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the aged and the infirm, for the bereaved and the lonely, and for the sick and suffering. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the poor and the oppressed, for prisoners and captives, and for all who care for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves and for each other. I invite you now to pray silently or aloud for those on your hearts and minds. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We praise you, Lord God, especially this day, for the communion of all your saints, and for the glorious hope of the resurrection to eternal life. Here we pray for those who are known to us, the saints of ages past and the saints of our own lives, either silently or aloud. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, you have promised to hear our prayers. Grant that what we have asked in faith, we may by your grace receive. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us now confess our sins in penitence and faith, confident in God's forgiveness. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Almighty God, who has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.